Items 436 and 437, please.
436, accept a report from Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon on a community of contrast, Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders in the West. And 437, proclaim May 2016 to be Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month.
So I believe we have a panel from APANO here. Christina Narayan, Khan Pham, and Cheryl Wong, I believe, are going to present. So come on up, our presenters, and welcome. Good morning.
The timer is making me nervous. We will be
presentations aren't subject to the time limit if you're invited presenters on a council calendar item. So.
Great. Let's see if I can navigate this. Okay. Cool. Hello, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Christina Narayan. I'm the Policy and Research Coordinator with APANO. To my left is Khan Pham, the Environmental Justice Manager. And further down is An Lee, who is a recent graduate of the API Community Leadership Institute. First, before we begin, we'd like to thank you, Mayor, and the Office of Equity and Human Rights for inviting us to share information about our community and our work. APANO, with national partners, has produced a demographic profile of the West, and in this booklet is about 10 pages specific to Oregon. I'd like to briefly just share some of the highlights. You know, as you all know, our community's history is rooted in the fight for equality and justice. We've persevered amidst obstacles such as exclusion, incarceration, and displacement, to name a few. And since the 1800s, we've contributed significantly to the industries that have fueled and shaped Oregon's economy, namely the fishing industry, farming, and the construction of railroads. As you can see, Pacific Islanders are among the second fastest growing ethnic group in Oregon, and Asian Americans aren't too far behind. But this narrative is often untold and unlearned. Yesterday, we took a step toward instituting this history. The school board voted to adopt a resolution affirming ethnic studies as part of the graduating curriculum at all Portland public schools to be instituted by 2018. This was the result of a year-long campaign designed and driven by APANO's youth. Now, I don't know if you remember what you were doing in high school, but I was trying not to go to class. Definitely was not making an effort to make it more dynamic and appealing to my peers. Now, while measures and metrics often aggregate us together, it's important to know that we are a unique, diverse community. I identify as Fijian. My mother is from Yugoslavia. And as you can see here, the Asian and Pacific Islander community represents about 26 different ethnic groupings. This ranges from our historic Chinese communities to our newly placed Bhutanese refugees and Marshallese Islanders. Multnomah County is home to the state's most historic population of Asian and Pacific Islanders, but actually we see the most growth in rural Oregon, where populations have actually doubled.
Could I just ask you about that? I was very interested to see that Malheur County has a large contingent. Do we know why folks are going there?
Well, we actually see a large group of Pacific Islanders there for some of the agricultural work and just that industry. I guess I couldn't tell you otherwise, but people tend to go to where their families are. Yeah. We see a lot of climate justice pressures that are bringing islanders to the mainland, which actually Khan will touch on as well.
That's wonderful to see more diversity in the rest of the state.
I think so.
Thank you.
So as our communities grow, we want to make it a point to involve them in community processes. And what we found is that our communities have the ability to swing elections with populations that represent the margin of victory in 9 House district races. And this is based on the 2012 elections. Our local district, 44, has the highest number of voting-age Pacific Islanders in the state. And a continued investment must be made to ensure that the right to vote is protected and accessible regardless of language spoken at home or length of citizenship. APANO recently launched a statewide campaign to register 6,000 newly eligible API voters by October, and we're on track. We'll also release ballot voter guides in 7 different languages. So our families contribute to the economy still. And we are more likely than any other racial grouping to own a small business in Oregon. With over $3 billion in revenue and fueling about $500 million in payroll, we are literally creating jobs, and they're local jobs. The Jade District is an awesome example of what a thriving community can look like. But we must ensure that our communities have the opportunity to continue to thrive and be stable in these neighborhoods. And so there really need to be paths to storefront ownership, such as community land trusts and other city policies that can incentivize these purchases. So while we have seen pockets of prosperity within our community, many still struggle to make ends meet. From 2007 to 2013, Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders have actually grew into poverty. And while some in our community find academic success, others face barriers in accessing educational opportunities and language assistance for critical services. Statewide, Pacific Islanders are among the least likely to own homes, second only to African Americans, who have a home ownership rate of 33%. And we know this rate is even lower in Multnomah County. Even homeowners are likely to face a significant cost burden and increasingly double up or make tremendous sacrifices to keep their children in their school district, to stay near their jobs, and to simply be near their social supports. We have seen our communities prosper in the wake of incredible challenges. And one way that we can ensure future prosperity is through advocacy and leadership development. Apano is engaged in civic engagement, as I mentioned, but also in member-led campaigns to expand healthcare access and health literacy within our community. The importance of Heritage Month extends beyond recognizing our history. It's a value statement that the city is making, and you're recognizing that we are an integral part of the city of Portland. And as such, we must be included in the decision-making process so that we can help decide our future and also make sure that these policies help and don't hinder our fate. I'd like to turn it over to Khan to explain a little bit more about the breadth of services that Apano offers and how community members are really shaping the landscape in which they live.
Thanks. Good morning.
As Christina mentioned, Portland's growing API communities face a lack of living wage jobs with which to support their families, a housing crisis that is pushing more and more APIs out of the city altogether, and growing anti-immigrant sentiment reflected in English-only ballot measures and other campaigns to blame so-called others for our problems. At Apano, we believe that our communities find strength in a powerful political voice shaped by self-determination and our diverse cultural and ethnic heritages. We believe that the root causes of inequity are interconnected, and thus we organize and advocate on a range of issues that, ranging from educational equity for English language learners, ethnic studies, to anti-displacement and affordable housing, and transportation and climate justice. We invest in political education to understand the systems that create inequities and to focus on developing leaders who can work collectively to identify problems, make demands, and win concrete changes for our communities. Today, I'm going to share a little bit about our programs. Our climate justice work is rooted in the fact that Asians and Pacific Islanders are among the most impacted by climate change, both here and in their homelands. Many of our members, such as our Pacific Islander members and other communities like my family back home in Vietnam, have seen firsthand the impacts of rising sea levels and flooding and increasing drought. The neighborhood with the highest concentration of APIs in Oregon is the Jade District, where residents suffer asthma rates twice as high as the city average because of being surrounded by high traffic freight corridors. We know that it's crucial to make a shift to a clean, renewable economy, and we see many forces working to make this transition. But we want to make sure that it is a just transition, that we don't merely replicate the same unequal structures of power, only now with solar panels and green infrastructure. We want to make sure that the people who are locked out of the current economy because of race, class, gender, sexuality, national origin, are given access to green jobs and training so we can all help build a renewable economy that we all need. In the J District, our organizing and advocacy centers around four main goals: a home for all or anti-displacement, transportation justice, which includes sidewalks and safety improvements, as well as access to good public transit, small business development, and healthy air and green space. We've worked with community coalitions like Anti-Displacement PDX, Powell Division Community Stabilization Committee, and many, many others to ensure that anti-displacement measures are included in the city's plans. We have started doing tenant organizing with residents at Douglas Square Apartments, many of whom are recent Chinese immigrants who are facing rent increases after the recent sale of their building, which is a microcosm of what is happening all over the city. We have launched our Chinese Parent Leadership Academy and plan to launch a Vietnamese Parent Leadership Academy in the fall to build the skills and political analysis of our immigrant members so that they can effectively advocate and organize for their families at all levels, from Portland Public Schools to City Hall and beyond. At Apano, developing leaders is at the core of our work. An is an Epicly graduate and now one of Apano's awesome member leaders, and she will talk now about her experiences and reflections.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi. My name is An Le, and I have lived in Portland since 2007. I came here from Vietnam with my mom and my older brother when I was 15. I am an undergrad student at Portland State University. Go Viking! And I am hoping to become a clinical social worker in the future. Last month, I graduated from an eight-month leadership development program called the API Community Leadership Institute, APICLE, which Apano and Urko Asian Family Center run together. APICLE taught me the importance of training leaders in minority communities and the power of telling stories to challenge social stigma and as a tool for social change. From the day I was born, I was taught to never question authority and to do my best at any given situation, good or bad, oppressed or not, because I quote, "As long as we work hard, we can overcome everything." Well, that is not always the case. My grandparents and parent lived through the fall of Saigon in 1975. To survive, they had to adapt to the new system, and humans are the product of the environment. It is hard to do something different than what we know, and it was hard to do something different than what I knew. Recently, something happened that made me realize how much I have changed and grew in the last 8 months with APICLE. I was teaching a group of 30 teenagers to prepare them for leadership camp at the end of this month. At some point, I mentioned the term FOB. FOB means fresh off the boat, and is typically a derogatory term used to shame new immigrants. Most of the kids who knew what that term meant immediately told me to not use such term to talk about myself. I asked them, what's wrong with being a FOB? And they couldn't give me any answer. I then tell them how proud I am for being one and having friends and family members who are. Every time I say or hear the term FOB, I think about all the silent and endless sacrifices that my mom, who was a 52-year-old widow, who also did not speak any English, had to leave her country with the hope that my brother and I would have a better life than her. I asked them, how could something as beautiful as that become such a shameful thing to mention? And again, they could not give me any answer, and the room went quiet. At that very moment, I know that I have given 30 young leaders in my Vietnamese community a sense of ownership and the power of our ancestor story that is not learned in school or covered in the media. All of that happened because I was no longer afraid. Irving Goffman, the 73rd president of the American Sociological Association, said, "Stigma is a process by which the reaction of others spoil normal identity. It is important that our growing community knows we belong and are included in the decision-making and planning process. The decision-making in this building drastically help or hinder our ability to thrive. We thank you for recognizing our communities through APIA Heritage Month."
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Wonderful presentation. Thanks. Are there others that want to speak on the report itself? No one else signed up. Okay, and then before we take action on the report, I have the privilege of reading a proclamation which says this: "Whereas the City of Portland is proud of its diversity and draws strength from the rich cultures and traditions of all community members, and whereas Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders in Oregon are prevailing over the adversity of exclusion, incarceration, and displacement, And whereas Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month is an opportunity for all individuals and organizations to recognize the contributions of Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders to the cultural, civic, and economic life of Portland for over 150 years. And whereas the Asian American and Pacific Islander community is comprised of many languages and ethnicities, and their vibrant history ought to be shared with all Portlanders. Now, therefore, I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim May 2016 to be Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month and encourage all residents to observe this month. Let's hear it for our Asian and Pacific Islander community. Thank you all. I think a motion to accept the report is in order.
So moved.
Second.
Let's take a vote, please.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for this good report. I look forward to looking through it more, but it definitely has some good information about the tremendous population growth of our Asian American, Native Pacific Islander population. So thank you. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you so much for your presentations. And I was just looking at the report, I think there's a couple of passages that I wanted to read out, which is that while some reports on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders paint a simplistically glossy picture, this report aims to provide a fuller and richer portrait of the social, economic, and political challenges and opportunities our communities face. And I think that's really important information to deliver, because I think you're right, in sort of the popular imagination, it is often a glossy picture. We need to be reminded that it's not always so glossy. So thank you very much. Aye.
As always, data informs our decisions and helps us understand, and I appreciate Commissioner Novick for calling that out, that the report in fact shows that Asian Americans do suffer disparities that are ongoing and in some cases worsening. So it's very much appreciated that you came to present today. Several of us were in the 82nd Avenue of Roses Parade on Saturday, which was wonderful, and it's great to see the businesses along 82nd recovering from the recession and went past the Apano community space, which is, always brings a smile to my face. So it's a partnership we need to continue to support. I'm very proud of the Jade District and the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative. June 11th of 1979, I was fresh off the boat. I came to hear from the United Kingdom, and in those days, a one-way ticket on the boat was cheaper than a one-way ticket on the plane. So that's my story, and that is not a story that arriving on that boat was very different from the experience of you and your mom and your brother. And I appreciate that you are going to Portland State, and that your mom must be very happy to see you embarked on a life that will indeed be better than hers. Although I'm sure she feels that having you and your brother is part of a good life and getting here safely. So I appreciate very much you coming to give us your personal stories. Every immigrant has a personal story. Every American has a personal story, and we need to be reminded of those things. I'm very grateful for that and for your participation and membership in the community of Portlanders. Aye.
Else.
Well, you know, this change in the demographics of our city is one of the most amazing and noteworthy changes in Portland's history. And we have really become a much more diverse city over the last few decades. And this report both shows the strengths of that community and of those communities and the weaknesses and problems that we need to confront. But I have so much hope, having seen some activities and activism here recently. Saturday after the 82nd Avenue Parade, I was out at the New Year's celebration in the park with communities from across the Asian and Pacific Islander cultures in our city. And it was both a cultural celebration and a celebration of the young people in those communities and a big family picnic for a big family that comes from dozens of countries. And Polo and others that organized that, it was really a wonderful event because it shows how we are all becoming Portlanders. And I said something there that I want to emphasize again here, and you mentioned it, Ann, and that is part of this involves leadership and political power, not just access to the good things of Portland, not just equal opportunity, but actual political power. And if you, some of you I know attended our budget hearings this year, and there were communities of color from across the city who came and spoke eloquently and passionately at those hearings. And to me, is an illustration of the exercise of that citizenship and power that comes with inclusion. And so that's something to be celebrated, encouraged. I love the fact that there are deliberate efforts at raising up new leaders, whether as high school students, college students, or working adults who then can start taking these roles in political and public life. So I'm an enthusiastic fan of that development as well. So there's a lot to be hopeful about, a lot to be celebrated, a lot of work to do, and you have a city council and a community that support that change and all that comes with it. Aye. Thank you all very much. We have a proclamation I would love to give to you, and then I'd love to take a photo with some of the leaders here from the community who are here this morning. So could we please? Yeah. Please.
Can we all get in?
Okay.